local. This is not an official meeting of the central provincial local government. Honorable Minister, HOD, CFO, and the entire local government family. Honorable members, we are going to introduce ourselves just for the members who are not necessarily used to our faces. But you are all welcome to those who are not part of the Department of Local Government. I know that Treasury is sitting somewhere here. You are welcome. And everybody else, Prime Minister, you are all welcome. I'm Matthew Odem Maseve. My role here is that I'm the chairperson of this committee. Members.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nanda Mano, a member of the local government.
May I then head over to the minister?
Well, thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Goodell, of course, for the local government.
And also, head of the party.
Good afternoon, honorable members. Good afternoon, honorable members.
Good afternoon, members. Albert Wynn.
Good afternoon, honorable members. I'm Chair Marcy Brandt.
Good afternoon, Chair Matthew Dell.
Good afternoon, honorable members. Colonel McCann, Municipal Governance.
Good afternoon, honorable members. Andy Hartman, Municipal Development Worker Program.
Thank you very much. It's nice to do this exercise because you may only speak once. Maybe you're not going to speak after this. So you don't want to feel that you should have stayed in the office. But thank you very much. You are all welcome. I'm just going to request that we get this CFO. In case somebody speaks a language that you don't understand, then we give them the opportunity to enjoy their freedom to speak the language of their choice. We have got three official languages in this province. So we want to practice that. This is one institution that must practice it. Because if we don't do it in this institution, believe you me, communities out there will not even bother. The exercise is not just some media friendly. We are doing this because it's important for this part of the institution. We are going to go straight to this blue book.
Maybe she just as a word of advice.
You know,
the minister, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the comments. Honourable Chairperson, we've got some handouts. So the Honourable Yankee don't have to open his blue book. The adjusted estimates, thanks to Bhavana and her team, they've made it very simple for the minister to understand, so we share it with the standing committee. And I want to thank them because it's really explained exactly the shifts within the adjusted estimates. And I don't know how you want to deal with it, but I'm going to hand over to the team. They're well prepared, but I think this will help us a lot. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister. I also want to say this is the simplest way of putting it together. You've assisted us. We can just go straight to this. It doesn't have to be a long meeting. It's 27 million rands that we need to deal with. If we are able to see where the money goes and we are able to attest to the fact that it is the right program, I don't see why we should be spending the entire day. We've got less than an hour to finish this exercise, Honorable Nyanji. So we can all support it at the end. HOT.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think it's a summary, as the Minister has indicated, of the minuses and the pluses. In other words, the additions and the minuses, but also the costs within the department. Just in total, you can see it's the adjustment budget equates to about 27 million. And part of it is some of the rollover approvals. And obviously, the highlight is the additional money that we got for the recent fires in the Garden Route to deal with some of the impacts in both the city of Cape Town as well as the Garden Route district. So we have the detail, and if there's additional detail required, we can give that. I'm going to just ask the CFO just to take us through it, step by step. Thank you, Chairperson.
Good day, everybody. Through Chair, so we've had the original budget of the 250 million and the new budget is 279 million. So we've had money that came in. We've asked for provincial revenue retention, which we've added, and that's money that was allocated towards the firefighting budget. That's the aerial firefighting budget on the wildland firefighting project. So it's just over R1 million. We'd asked for rollovers with regard to previous money that was unspent. It was the 6.7 million, which reflected as the saving in our previous financial year's budget, and the 500, which was earmarked money that we've also gotten back from the provincial treasury, and we've added that into the various programs. So the first 500,000 was related to the Dollar Omar institution, and we put that back into the project, and that was a commitment of work that had already started and was not finished in the previous financial year. The aerial firefighting was the underspend with regard to the aerial firefighting support in the previous financial year, and we asked for the revenue to come back in this year. So the new money that we've received is the next line item, and it's the unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure, which is new earmarked allocation. The 20 million is split up into 15 million for the Garden Route fires, and then the fires with regard to the city of Cape Town, 15 and 5 million respectively. And then we've got additional money that was allocated from the drought reserve, and that's for the geohydrologist appointment, which is 4.6 million that went into program 3, and then for drought relief related to the Beaufort West municipality, and that's in a gazette. And then what we've done is we've realigned, and these are the reduction in the baseline, and that's the COE money that we're surrendering to the provincial treasury now on the revenue fund. It's in total just over 5.6 million, but it's broken up into the 80% which we're surrendering back to the revenue fund, and it comes to 4.2 million minus the 20% which we can keep and shift back into goods and services, and that money is been reallocated, and we've added that into the aerial firefighting support budget. And we're giving back the money on the CDW grants for this financial year and deferring it to come back into the new financial year, and that's given the audit query related to the goods and services against the transfer payments classification, and the fact that there's still no solution from the provincial treasury and the department in terms of a way forward on that grant. But the arrangement is that that money will come back in the new financial year, and that will then get processed, and that's how the shifts in the environments are effectively going to be working, and that's how we come to the overall 279,000 rand. If you need any more of the detail, we can go into the detail.
Thank you very much, CFO. I'm happy with what you have just did. If there's any member who needs further clarity, we know that there were fires in Eisen. We all know there were fires in Cape Town. And we know that there's droughts that have been affecting this province. The fact that your heart is in the right place and your mind is in the right place, it's focused, that's what we appreciate, because then the work that this parliament is doing and the work that the department is doing, Honourable Minister, it shows that there's synergy, there's no silo approach, and we appreciate that. We've been making noise about so many things, but this is one area that we've worked very well together on. So let me hand over to Honourable Members. Any issues you want to highlight on what has been said? Nothing, thank you very much. So, Honourable Janji.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks to the Minister for coming and the HOD. Maybe just to go through this with the team and the CFO. I hear the explanation from the CFO, but there are just a few areas of clarity maybe. The first one relates to the table 14.1. So if you thought that would not open the book. The book has been opened already. 14.1, just the economic classification. Just an explanation or a reason why you have the increase on the development planning unit by 32 million and the decrease of 4.8 million for the local governance. Just to elaborate on that, what constitutes that? What drives that? To give us a bit of detail on that. And also the on the rollovers, not the rollovers, the 7.2 million that come from the previous financial year. And then let's go to where the chairperson says your heart is. The 20 million for the fire intervention. I'm just curious and interested about how you've spread or divided that. Neisner in the main gets about 15 million and the city of Cape Town gets 5 million. It's the other way around.
HOD. Yeah, that's the danger. Let him finish talking. You know you've got all the answers, you're going to give him the uppercut.
Okay.
Yeah, but let him speak and then you can speak.
Look on this page. It's an addition under your unforeseeable and avoidable expenditure, which we understand. The earmark, the 20 million, which is 15 million for the garden road, but we know it's not all over garden road. We know where it's going in the garden road. The blue book tells you where it's going. This is nice, man, in the main. And then the 5 million for the city of Cape Town. And my curiosity there is that, and maybe there's a reason for that, you're giving city of Cape Town 5 million because it has resources, because what I know is that you've got a Hot Bay, you've got your Kailichas, there are quite a number of areas, many of them informal settlements. So I don't want Minister to read into it that there's a priority for Neisner, and therefore the geographic and who is helping Neisner is different from who is helped in the city of Cape Town. So that's my curiosity, if you can help me on that. And then, on the sub-program 2.4, the 1 million under spending on staff turnover. Because I think what we're dealing with here today, remember we're coming from the annual report that ended on the 31st of March. And so everything else now which we could not cover, this is what. So I'm not going to repeat some of the things that we spoke about in the annual report, because I think that would be the waste of time, because we have spoken about that. And there might not have been enough time between then and now to fix any of those. This clearly points to what we have raised then, the failure to fill vacancies. Because that COE, the reduction of cost of employees, the 6 million from where I'm sitting could have provided many employment opportunities. But because you've not filled post, this is what we have. Maybe Chair also, under expenditure on local governance, you've only spent 38% to date. Is that correct? On that. So just for you to give a reaction to that, and development and planning, 31%. To date. I'm raising issues because I've gone through the blue book that he wanted me to close, so I've opened it sometime yesterday. Again, this is a matter that we, maybe sub-program 2.4, the question there, so why was the 7 million kind of moved from goods and services for initiatives earmarked for citizen centric participation projects. I think you've explained the 500, but maybe on the Dalai Lama Institute, what exactly was that meant for? What did you? What are you asking them to do for you? I'll pause there for now, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Kyanji. The last professor on over to you, HOD and department.
I have to serve by way of introduction and respond to the 20 million. I think 500 is for the city of Cape Town, and we know that recently we had the fires in Nysa. And we know the city of Cape Town is also adequate resource, but the 500 is really to deal with the impact of the fires. To what extent the city of Cape Town begins to help the victims of those fires, and also to deal with some of the own operation expenditure in relation to the fires. In the same way, it is for the Garden Route District, which consists out of a number of municipalities, 8 in actual fact. And the fires also, it's for Essequa, it's for Nyasa Municipality, for George itself, and Marshall Bay and so on. So although the money is going to Garden Route, but it's for the expenditure for the fires in terms of the operations, but also to assist some of the impact with these victims and so on. So just for, and they've given the, I mean, Colin and Jackie can speak to it, but they've also given the updated figures. Just for the aerial firefighting, the amount of helicopters and so on, and for the ground teams alone, is in excess of 8 million. And the Garden Route municipalities have actually exhausted their own budgets, which was in the region of 3 million and so on. And just to help and assist those municipalities to deal with their own operational expenditure, but also with the fires and so on. The ground teams and the aerial firefighting, because if you speak to Colin, we've also contacted guys in from other provinces to help with the fires. The fires was in Lesbo, 91,000 hectares. It was 4 times the size of the Nysa fire there. So we've also given a 5 million to Nysa Municipality in specific, also to help and assist the municipality to deal with that. But a large part of that is actually going to the Garden Route District itself in relation to the fires. And there's ongoing assessments around it. And so as we verify the damage and the cost around the fires, so the numbers are increasing. But there is a due diligence process that we actually subject ourselves to see whether it's an actual fact. Entirely correct and so on. So that is in relation to the 20 million. The staff turnover, I mean, we have raised it. It is a problem with the duration. All the posts that are vacant is in the recruitment process. So whether it's been advertised or whether shortlist and so on. But the practice is that the recruitment and selection process takes some time to finish. And at the MTEC of this department, it's now actually less than a member. So what we've done is we are now actually, based on the decision within the department, as I said, we will now use that savings to fund the unfunded posts within the organization. Because we can't surrender this money all every time and say that we can't spend it given other processes in terms of the recruitment and selection processes. In terms of the, what was that question, recruitment services? Okay.
The role of 7.2, well, the reason it went into the respective programs, which is in Program 2 and Program 3, is because the commitments were actually, and the earmarked allocations from the previous financial year were in those programs. So when we asked for the rollovers, we had to put them back into those programs because that's where the allocations were. The 500, the Dula Omar, Ida can give you more detail, but it's an assessment framework for provincial interventions, but Ida can give you more detail if that's what you require. And then the 6.7, like I said, was in the AOI fighting, which was an underspend on the previous financial year's fires. HED has already addressed the 20 million on the fire intervention. On program 2.4, the reason that we've taken the 1060 out from there is we've had a director post that's been vacant from the beginning of the financial year. It's only going to be filled now in January. We've also had a deputy director post that was vacant in that same unit that only became filled in October. So that's bulk of the COE saving on that. Pertaining to the 38% spend on local governance, that is on track. A lot of the money that's going to be in there is transfers, and that will only happen now after the adjustments estimate, the gazettes, as well as all of the business plans that have been signed off. The transfer payments will then happen at this point, but everything is on track for full spend. With regard to why the budgets have been allocated in terms of the first page, the first program, and why 32.6 million is in program 3, it is because of the 20 million that went into that project on the drought support or the area firefighting support. That's the 20 million. And then we had goods and services money that has gone in. We've reduced COE somewhat. We've increased goods and services by 13 million, and we've increased transfers by 21 million. And that effectively makes up the 32 million. The reason that there's been a decrease of the 4.8 in program 2 is because we've given up COE money to the value of 2.2 million rand. We've increased goods and services by 7.5 million, and we've reduced transfers and subsidies by 10 million. And that the transfers and subsidies is actually because we've reallocated some of the transfers and subsidies money into goods and services. So if you take the 10 million reduction in goods and in transfers, you add the goods and services of the 7.5, and you add the 3 million that's going back to the provincial treasury, you get back to the 10 million rand, and that's how we get the reduction in the 4.8 million.
Yes, follow up, Chair, please.
If you allow Ms. Banner, I'm going to
speak about the interventions.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Member, we appointed the University. We appointed the University of Western Cape, specifically the Dula Omar Institute, towards the very end of the last financial year to assist us primarily to conduct research into 139 interventions, not only in the Western Cape but across the country. So how interventions are handled across the country but also here, and then with the purpose of that research helping us actually to prepare a framework and almost like a checklist for us to go forward. What can we do, what can't we do? And I must admit that the work has now been completed. The documents are ready with us, and it's actually a very rich document to show us what is actually happening across the country around interventions, and that will guide us differently going forward.
Thanks, Ms. Barnett. And Lundberg?
Yes, no, just three follow-ups, Chair. Maybe let me start with that one and go to the others. So I'm interested, I don't know if you, at what stage that is, I'm interested that you would share whatever exciting lessons come out of that. But, and it depends what provinces you're interested to go and study. The minister would know, because I'm reading into that. So you've done 139 also in other areas. So I don't know whether that's a sign of doubt on his part that he's done this. He's not sure whether he's done the right thing in terms of Section 139. But the second one, in the past we used to say, minister, that when you apply Section 139. It's because of two things. That one, you find yourself doing 139 because you've done absolutely nothing until that point. And so 139 is we can't be excited when you do it, because we ask you certain questions before. Why did it get to that point? Okay. But the second one, which we always answer that. Sometimes it becomes a necessary intervention in addition to everything else that has been done. So I really am interested in terms of the terms of reference that you've put in for this, because it speaks to policies. Are you beginning to say because if you go to KZN or you go to Northwest, I'm not sure what you might pick up there, because you can have 10 municipalities in 1 year under 139. Don't know what you want to. If you go to KZN, there was a time when the best MEC that was there used to do that. Because I'm asking these because when you go to the NCOP, they pose this kind of question, especially for 139. It's not a straightforward thing. You've got to motivate why you do that, and they probe those kind of questions. So let me leave that. Then the second one, follow-up, Chair, is on the 4.8. So when you're saying you've given up part of the cost of employment, so I'm interested, what have you given up? What exactly in that 4.8 million that you have kind of found out when you put it in the strategic plan, in the annual performance plan, that you, all of a sudden you feel you can give this up? What is it? Just maybe one or two things, because it speaks to the planning that you... It could be easy for you to just give up something that you've put in, that you brought here to us, and that we approved. So if you could share that, so that's one. Then my last one, Chair, relates to, and maybe the who then would help, because the unforeseen, the 20 million is also the earmark. I'm interested in the earmarking approach. We are at the beginning of the fire season. And you would know with your own work and research that, yes, nice that you have that, but on annual basis, the bulk of your challenges sometimes, it might have changed in the previous year, becomes to be in the metro. And in the metro, it is a certain section of that community. And I'm not sure whether you're saying, therefore, 5 million is adequate. You're happy with 5 million, that this is... What would help you tackle these firefighters as we get into that? Thank you, Chair.
Engosi Mhlonipheki. Ndiza kucela umuntu ongavayo amamela asifuba zamane ndithetha isiXhosa apha ethubeni. Mhlekazi. Mhlekazi Simas.
Chair, if I can just let you into my colleague regarding the 5 million to the City of Cape Town. And this question through you to the Minister, actually. Is it not correct that actually applied into the National Department for specific funding relating to certain fires that happened in the midterm? That's why you're actually allocating in the 5 million.
I'm not going to respond, Chairperson, on the questions of the interventions framework, the work that we're doing around it, but safe to say that we will, when it's ready, and the minister's concurrence and make it available to the committee. But it's not necessary for the reasons as the honourable member has put forward. It's totally for different reasons that we've undertook the work.
Until we see it.
Yes. Yeah. And just on the 4.8 million chairperson for the savings on COE, it's done on the premise that we that posts become vacant and posts then go into the recruitment process. We then do on a monthly basis an assessment of the recruitment process, where that recruitment process, and for every month that the post is not filled, it obviously generates savings and so on. So, and there is what we call budget meetings within the department where we assess with each director and so on and say, when do you want to fill the post, how do you want to fill the post. And given our experience with the recruitment and selection program, we can project that it's going to take so long to fill a particular post. And then sometimes you come to the interview, you offer a person a post, and the money is too little, and then they decline. And you must actually revisit the entire process. But we can't indicate that we're going to use that money while we know that it's actually generated savings. And then we give that money up and say, but it can be used differently somewhere else and so on. And in some respects, with the little sort of fighting and so on and representation and so on, we get the money back in another form from the provincial treasury and so on. Just in terms of the owners, I'm going to ask Colin just to speak to that. The fact of the matter is because it's not necessarily declared a, go through a process of declaring a disaster and then obtain national funding for it. What we do is that we look at the own funds, to what extent we can actually assist the municipalities and so on. Colin.
Thanks, actually. Chair, I think just around the planning and everything that we do prior to a season, we basically work on an average amount of operations that we can carry out, and then we budget according to that. I mean, it is a it's a very unpredictable process. The problem with this fire is it came outside of our fire season. Normally our fire season only starts on the 1st of December. So the aircraft were not here, which meant that we had to get them from other parts of the country. We also would rely on a fairly large assistance from the South African National Defence Force. This time we only had one aircraft. It was worth its weight in gold, but it was only one, so we needed to augment that. The situation was this fire lasted for 34 days. For 34 days we had to work with, at most of the time, 680 personnel who have to be fed, who have to be supported. You can't keep them on the fire line all the time, etc. So there's a large management component around this as well, and that's where a lot of the costs went to. Also, with the problem that we have with the very poor maintenance of a lot of the deer forests, we couldn't put teams in the forest, so we needed to use more aircraft. And at some stages, we even had parts of George being affected. At one stage, we could have lost Plettenberg Bay. So I think just that around the costs. As far as the city is concerned, last year we declared disasters in the city after the Nizamiyetu fire, and a disaster declaration was done. The costs to assist people affected by those fires are astronomical because it's funding. You've got to move the people, you've got to shelter the people, you've got to support them, and of course we're also working with the city to get the smoke alarm project working there. And as the HOD said, the problem really is that when we apply for disaster funding, we really have to, make sure that our integrity stays in place. So the 5 million assists the city with the massive cost that they already have to go through to look after everybody that's affected by the fires. To have to declare a disaster and go through that disaster process is really going to be a difficult process if we're asking for 5 million rand, or if the city is declaring disasters for informal settlements for as many times as we have them. Our support to municipalities from a fire perspective is not in actual firefighting activities other than wildland fires. The support that we give is in terms of training and in terms of equipment and that kind of stuff. And there the city is pretty much where we help them the most is with training. It's where we help the smaller municipalities is with vehicles, equipment, training, etc.
All right. Honourable Pujang says he's happy.
I hear them.
I'm going to...
To be continued.
Yeah, what we will do also in the new year, we may need to take a trip to the affected areas as the standing committee in order to see the impact and the progress made at the time of our visit. So it's very important to just look at how the department is assisting, just to follow the money, but also to be able to share our thoughts on the situation on the ground. It's important to do that. But we'll make that call when we deal with our own issues later on as a standing committee. This now brings us to the end of our session, Minister. It's a very short session, but Minister Gyanji, Honorable Gyanji, you wanted to check the minister.
It's not a mistake.
No, the thing is, I'm recapping now that he wants at this department. Yes, I wonder how were you taking questions on this side. No, we're not going to give you that opportunity, not so soon. May I request that before I give you HOD and the minister an opportunity to say a few words. But I just want to thank the Department of Local Government as a whole for having done what you've done with the speed and commitment that you've done in order to service this province and, of course, the municipalities that you work with. As this standing committee, ours is to do monitoring and evaluation, oversight and accountability. And that is something that we do without fear or favor. And we do that often in the House, and we do it through this committee. And you recall that this year we didn't have many meetings. But we use the systems in Parliament to do checks and balances, and we've done that very well. But I think the spirit that existed between us and the department, it's the one that I need to appreciate. And I'm going to particularly say, Mr. Diner, on the work that you've done with the teams and supporting the efforts by municipalities, we appreciate that. We've seen, and I was in talks with the minister. From time to time, I would call him and say, I will still have lives, no lives lost. I was saving lives. And he would say, it's tough, but we are on foot. So we appreciate that. I'm going to request Honorable Gyanji to say a few words, because this is our last meeting for the year, in order to really, it's not a convention, but I'm asking you to do it so that they know that you love them.
With that, Chair, would you allow me to go back to some of the... Okay, no, thank you very much, Chair. On behalf of the members of the standing committee and the chairperson of Masuzole Mqasela, we do want to take this opportunity to say you're going to be the department that we will look up to during this season to help the most vulnerable. It's this is a season that supposed to be a joyous season, but it brings so much pain to those that we know have nothing, because the fires devastate. But of course, with climate change, which is the point I wanted to make, is that it's such that the reason why you had fire when you don't expect fire, and you have done that research as part of your hazards, I think a 32 hazard. So the department has always going to be on its toes, regardless of the season where we are. But I think we do appreciate the work that you have put in. You deserve a little break from us, but I'm not sure if you are going to get a break, because there are certain things that you need to do, This is the end of the last quarter. There's still so much for the last quarter, and I'm hoping that there won't be any fiscal dumping as from January in that quarter. So we really want to wish you a little bit of break, those that will take that break, but those that will stay and hold the fort as you have planned and arranged it, that the department, we hope it will be in good hands. And thank you very much, Minister, for your leadership of the department, and good luck for the interviews. But as you know, we're in the last 6 months, and there's a period of worth of fact. Van Jelle af, so baie dankie. Now.
Thank you, Honorable Judge. Honorable Minister.
Yeah, thank you. And first of all, let me thank my team of local government, the whole team, the team that understand where we need to go with the country, understand that our first priority is to overcome poverty and to support the people that live in severe circumstances. And I also wish them all a well-deserved break during the Christmas season. The holiday season. To the Standing Committee, thank you very much. Always good knowing that there's good oversight, keeps us all sharp. We don't take these things personal. It's your job to have oversight, and we respect that, so thank you for that. And to the Honourable Yankee, I also dream, even during my interviews tomorrow, I will dream. So dream on. We will see one another in the street. And I think what we need to commit to, and I'm very serious on this one, I think you will agree with me, that what we owe South Africans is a fair and a free election. And I think all political parties need to commit to that. Although we've got our differences, we're busy rebuilding the country, and as long as we can have a peaceful and fair election, whatever the outcome, I will be very satisfied with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, and that brings us to the point where I can safely say happy holidays. Thank you. Take care. And leadership okay. Bill.
Changes just before we get to that, just to adopt the report on the adjustment appropriation.
Thanks, Johan. I assumed you just spoke so well everywhere. I'm going to request members that Johan reads the report and then we deal with the report. My report is subject to what members are suggesting here. What is your feeling, Honourable Members?
Chair, I believe it is the Democratic Alliance we support.
Honourable Inanna?
Yeah,
I do support it. Don't take a chance.
Yeah, it can be reported.
All right. Honorable Janji says he's not in support. All right. So then the majority view of the committee is that we support the vote. Will you please read the draft report, Johan?
The report of the Standing Committee on Local Government on vote 14, local government in the schedule to the Western Cape Adjustment Appropriation
Bill B6-2018, dated 23 November 2018 as follows. The Standing Committee on Local Government, having deliberated on the subject of Vote 14 Local Government in the schedule to the Western Cape Adjustment Appropriation Bill B6-2018, referred to the committee in accordance with Standing Rule 187, reports that it supports the vote in terms of standing or in accordance of Standing Rule 86, the African National Congress expressed its minority view that it noted the deliberations on the vote.
Honourable members, may I get a mover? Thank you. Seconder. Thanks. The report has been adopted and supported. Thank you very much. With that minority view of the African National Congress, may we then move to the TKLB. And we've got the D bill with us. It's been a long road. It's been a very long road. But finally, this is where we are. If you recall, honourable members, when we dealt with the B bill and obviously the C bill, we said we support the bill with the number of amendments that we proposed. And having done that, I even attended a briefing in the National Council of Provinces where I was invited by the chairperson of the Select Committee in the briefing by the Department of COPTA. None of what we raised, despite a contentious debate on the number of issues, but none of what we proposed does in fact appear to have been considered in the D bill. Many of the issues raised included the fairness, justice, and the issues of equality, and I think it will be a disservice to the people of this province if we turn a blind eye when they have not been listened to. So I'm bringing this to your attention, that we consider D bill, and our mandate is now final for the honourable members who are in the Select Committee as permanent delegates to vote in a particular way. I'm going to hand over to you, honourable members. Honourable Simas.
Chair, I believe, noting that when we look at the B and the C bill, and we really had our reservations and concerns, and we highlighted and flagged that as part of our first mandate to the NCOP member, I believe given that the NCOP have literally then basically just rejected our proposals, I think that we cannot support the bill in its final form, because fairness is a law, needs to be fair and just. And the way that bill is now written, it's really not doing a credit to the people of our province and those communities within our province who seek true recognition and an equal level to the counterparts in other areas of the country. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable
Simas. Let us win. One of our responsibilities as a standing committee is to communicate with the members of the public through the public participation processes. And it is a forum there where the members of the community are putting their views across for us to be their voice where the matter is supposed to be debated. When we conducted the public participation, we wanted to solicit the views of what is their take on the bill itself. Now, that view, we took it to the NCOP because it reflected the will of the people. So if their will is not recognized, is not taken into account, we have got the responsibility of saying as much as they have said that they don't support the bill. So I think that the position that the standing committee must reflect the views of the people that we engage through the public participation, which is the rejection of the bill because of the number of the issues. In fact, I wanted to emphasize that the The fact that there were amendments was an idea that if 1, 2, and 3 are sorted out based on the engagement that we're having, we will have a different view. But if those views are rejected, it therefore means the views of the standing committee have to reflect the public participation process outcomes, which is the rejection of the bill itself. I so therefore support the rejection of the bill.
Thank you, Honorable Inanna. Honorable Judge.
No, Chair, very briefly, Chair, I hold the view, Chair, that the enactment and the implementation of the bill, when it is an act, will go a very long way to solve some of the problems that were there before, but also to bring hope to that community. And in a scale of things, the existence of it when it is an act would certainly be miles apart from its non-existence. And so I acknowledge the areas of concerns that members have raised, which we all have participated in, and we were interacting with communities. But I do believe that those matters can still be attended to, that it doesn't necessarily need for us to say we reject the bill. So I would want to record our support for the bill with the hope that we can find ways to attend to those matters, if not now, perhaps in the foreseeable future. So that would be my support for the bill.
Thank you very much, Honorable Janji. I just want to, before we finalize the matter, say for the record that there's so many fundamental areas that made it difficult for a number of us to arrive at a different decision on this matter. Yes, it is a fact that it would have been a beginning of a process, but the reality is that we've seen it in the past. It has not necessarily meant that if you accept a slice, because it's not a half a loaf, this. If you accept a slice, there might be a loaf in future. This might actually become a very painful experience for the very people who want to assist. And we're going to see it as we, because we've got a minority view, unless the president refuses to sign it, based on the legal advice which he might very much, very well receive. Because Section 6 of this bill and Section 7 of this bill makes it clear that it trivializes people of Khoi and San origin. It makes them feel that they're not equal to other South Africans. And that is the painful thing. Because it makes one wonders whether, in terms of the project of social cohesion, nation building, are we really bringing that element forward in terms of building unity and striving towards a more equal South Africa? What are we then saying, observing the international statutes, but our very own constitution, which is the best in the world? So based on those number of areas, honorable members have said it here, we cannot support this bill. And I am going to request, and having observed what Honorable Janji said, but because we are now sending it to NCOP, there will be no minority view. Unfortunately, it goes as a view of this legislature, of this parliament. But in the minutes, it will be registered. On that note, Johan, please read the draft, the final committee report on this matter.
Okay, final mandate stage. Report of the Standing Committee on Local Government on the Traditional and Khoi San Leadership Bill, B23D, 2015, Section 76 Bill, NCOP, dated 23 November 2018. The Standing Committee on Local Government, having considered the subject of the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Bill, B23D, 2015, referred to it in accordance with Standing Rule 220, recommends that the House confers on the Western Cape's delegation in the National Council of Provinces the authority to not support the bill.
Thank you very much, Johan, honorable members. That's the report. Are we all together? Thank you very much. The meeting is now adjourned on this particular area. We're moving to the next area of the meeting, and that is our committee meeting, committee minutes, as well as the committee report. You've got the report before you. There isn't really much. I'm just going to say, in terms of our committee program, in the new year, we must have a new program, because things, we've been here for 5 years, so if we didn't do many of the things we wanted to do, we can't do them in the next few months. But we need to look at what is it that is of a strategic nature for the work of the committee, the impactful things that we need to achieve in order to assist in the area of our work. Much of which I think we need to go out. We need to go to communities. We used to use that component of the local government oversight. It's one of the committee components that we have. Are we fine with that, honourable members?
Yeah.
Can we then go to the garden route and also go to Cape Town areas that were affected by fire? Can we request the Standing Committee on Environment to join us so that we go together? Because all of this, when they happen, it affects environment. Yeah. We'll write to the chairperson. He's no longer the chair. Yeah, he's now chairing a different committee. No, but he's very close to that committee. Honorable Inanna.
Yeah, chairperson, I do support that. We need to have a new program, and in particular to take the oversight visit on the area affected by fire. One of the very painful things, especially in the informal settlement, is that the intervention is only of extinguishing fire. And after that, nothing is happening. And we are today still having the question of the PM section, the people that were housed many years ago in New Way.
Yeah.
And it's something that we are finishing our term, but that has not been sorted out.
Yeah.
Now, currently, there is another one that is in Silverton. It's a very same problem that the intervention is only of extinguishing fire, and nothing happens. Now, I appreciate when you say that also to involve the Department of Environment. But what we must not also leave behind is the Department of Human Settlement. Knowing very well that there's a lot of money that is not being spent, and yet there are people that are so disparate for houses, hence these fires are happening unabated. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Simas.
Okay, can I ask, and Member Janki briefly touched on it for the Minister regarding the Section 139. It's very concerning, and I mean, Kannaland is my constituency. You see how that place is going backwards and backwards at a rapid pace. If we're following what's been happening in Pito, that I mean, we actually needed to go to court to get certain enforcements to happen there now. And I can name a few. Perhaps at one stage, one needs to sit with the department and perhaps invite the national department, because you can't, the plane can't be nearly a few meters in front of the mountain, then you want to start acting, then it's too late. And then you can't blame the provincial government, because, I mean, as a provincial government, we've been trying really to find ways and means to assist our local municipalities. But our communities are suffering while we are playing ping-pong here for Section 139 and when to activate it. And Kannaland is a classical example of what's happening there now. So I really plead with you, Chair. One can arrange such a meeting,
but
it's very concerning to me.
In the new year, because in these things it's always difficult to say who's at fault. especially in the space of intergovernmental relations. I can say to you, before you, your time, we were at, but you are aware because you were in that district, we had the Otsoren, we had Canada, and Canada has been in the equation throughout. But Otsoren, we went twice as the standing committee. And we, because we were doing our job, and ultimately the Section 139 was effected. So if you want these things to happen as well, we must then take it back, a step back and say, how much have we pushed? Because I think we didn't push hard this year, especially on this Canada Land one. As the committee, I take responsibility for that. We've been sort of listening and hoping, and we were hoping that it will happen, but we don't know what happened between what we were hoping for and what they were actually doing. So I think we've got to then ask the department, both national and provincial, which is COCTA and Treasury, both of them, because that's their Section 106, you know, is one of the 107, is one of the process, 137 is one of the processes that they have to push as Treasury as well. So in the new year, I think that could be one of the exercises. And then we walk to Canaland. Not to, if we invite them here, it's fine, but we need to interact with them in the presence of these departments in order to find a way. Last time we invited them here, sorry, they wanted to use the equitable share to pay ESCOM and then get a loan from the bank in order to service the other loan. and we stopped it. And they called us names. Honorable Jan, you tell you. So they know this parliament. They've been here. But now it's a different mayor. And it's a different government altogether. So we need to bring them here or go there and do the same thing we did previously and not act differently now because the other person is no longer there. So we can agree that in the new year, this program and the one of visiting the fire-ridden places be, the disaster-affected areas be, the two programs that we pay attention to. Then afterwards, we can close the term. Is that fine, Honorable Member? All right. The minutes of the 31st of October. Are we happy? Happy? Okay. Inanna was there, yourself, you were there, Honorable Che, Honorable Gyanji. Honorable Joseph has not been here, but I'm going to read you the letter quickly that he wrote to us. Then the committee report, we're happy? It's here, you also heard it. We're fine? All right, thanks. Before we adjourn the meeting, where is this letter from Mr. Joseph? Yeah, it's somewhere here. Is it there?
Yeah, okay.
Basically, Honorable Members, in his own words, he says he's busy working in his constituency so he cannot be in Parliament. And then we must register his apology here. And so I wanted to share that with you, that what's your feeling about that? He did it to other committees as well, and I found it a bit disturbing because we all have constituencies. So, Honorable Simas.
No, Chair, you actually just reiterated what I was about to say. All of us here have constituencies. But here, there are specific days when we must be in our constituency. And also noting how this member is exemplary in his absence, I think one actually, if we address the letter to you, Chair, you need to respond and tell him that. Okay, this is not the way it works. There are days when you are supposed to be in your constituency and there are days when you are supposed to be in Parliament. That's what we get paid to do. There's a balance.
Thanks, Honorable Simas. Honorable Janji.
It's not worth responding to. telling this chief's participation or non-chief's participation is a matter for the House, because if we're to produce a register, you'll find that there's no single committee where men attend, let alone their House, the sittings. So, and maybe that raises a gap about what the House does when such happens. So it's not a matter of a committee, because it's been absent in the House as well. So and there are no, the problem I have is the absence of consequences for smaller parties when they don't. What are the consequences? And maybe that takes us to the rules. We've been going through rules amendments. So 6 months before the next elections, I don't know. Hence, I'm saying it might not be worth responding to.
Honorable members, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Lunch.
Yeah.
I'm still going to.
So when's your interview?
Yeah. Was this person anything?